time is 8:38. I've asked Luba Mayukiso to join in this conversation, Luba, because it's so confusing, you know, African culture as well, Jewish culture. We've all got this stuff. We just don't know where it comes from and how seriously to take it.
Howard, you know, I'm even scared of joining this conversation.
Oh, go on, Luba. You'll be fine.
You know what? I think it's a quite a central feature of African life, but when I looked at it, I think we have to distinguish between superstition, which is just crazy belief in some things that are not necessarily real. Let's say walking under a ladder, Friday the 13th, and black cats and breaking mirrors, and the stuff where it's now a belief in the supernatural and whether or not that world exists and whether or not you can harm people. And it starts to get a little bit weird when you start going into divination and stuff like that. So I think that's the issue is where do you want to park the conversation over just harmless stuff or because in the African culture, it goes quite deeper. I mean, around animals, you probably know the story about in the old Transkei during the colonial times where supposedly a little girl went to the river and she spoke to some spirit who said, you know what, the white people are going to take over your land, but if you guys slaughter every single animal you have and have an almighty feast and eat everything.
It would have been easier to slaughter the white people.
No.
What have the animals ever done? Hey, that's what Julius would say. Hey?
Slaughter all the animals. Mm. I didn't say white people animals.
No, I'm saying, I know, I said it would be easier. It would have been more productive.
It would have been, yes, but anyway, so supposedly the people listened because the story went that the sun would rise from the east and get to noon and then set in the east again, and all the white people would be driven into the sea, and that would be the end of it. And of course, they slaughtered all the animals, the sun rose in the east and set in the west, and the white people weren't kind of washed off into the sea, and the people ended up starving and having to then almost give up their land. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but there is a grave that belongs to this young lady who was apparently some prophetess. So there are some strange things that you get in the African culture and especially around, there'd be beliefs in water spirits and people who live underwater. I've mentioned this to you before where I took some guys fishing on the farm and the guy said to me, no, but if I fish, I'll catch the people. And I said, what, a mermaid? And he said, no, there are people that live there. And these were grown men and you could see they genuinely believed in it. You know, my mother's family, we have clans, and they believe in a particular snake. Now, we've had almighty fights because my background, you know, obviously being too westernized, I didn't believe in that. But she would tell me that in her family, a snake would always visit them, and the snake was harmless to them but to everybody else. And I said, but Mom, could it be a garden snake? And she got very angry with me. <You know? laughs> So you get those. And then on my dad's side, it was something like, what was it now? Some crustacean or something like that. I can't remember, but, you know, so, but there's a belief system that if they visit luck. If they don't visit you, it's bad luck.
The problem, and I mean, and maybe some of it isn't a problem, and that's why I wanted David to talk about this as well. Because some of these things really, so what? You know, so what if we say, bless you, Gesundheit, God bless you when somebody sneezes. You know, no harm. I mean, I had a friend at school who was, I don't know where he is today, I imagine in a home, but if an ambulance drove past, he would, no matter what he was doing, he would touch my head, touch my toes, hope I never go in one of those. But if he didn't touch his head, touch his toes, he got completely worked up.
Right.
And I thought that wasn't okay.
Absolutely, and that's the point. It's how far will it go and how much does it interfere with your daily life? So I think for me, absolutely, when they are not too intrusive and easily done, those are adapted very quickly. You know, so bounce the tennis ball five times.
Right.
Wear your favorite watch. You know, you can grab it.
And those maybe aren't harmful until they become harmful. I mean, Jenny says a real Jewish superstition is not to whistle at night unless there is a Torah on the premises. Whistling at night is said to attract demons. So is that a superstition? Yes, sir.
Howard, the problem, though, is in itself it seems harmless, but it's the belief system behind it because, you know, whether you're a Jew or a Christian, your belief is in, you know, is obviously in Hashem. Now, if you believe that this act can interfere and in your destiny and in your well-being, then it's a problem. So for me, I've never viewed them as completely, you know, harmless. Like, I'll give you a simple example. with my mother's family, they would believe that if you were pregnant, and you were staying in the rural villages, and you know you made a little fire in the hut, the snake would come in. It would curl itself up. If it curled itself and its head was kind of on top of the little pile, then your baby would be fine. But if it hit the head, then your baby was going
to
die.
Okay, so I want to stop you there because this to me is interesting, and I think you've hit on something that is it takes us to what David is here for, is where we are most, where we feel the least in control and the most fearful is when I think we become more like this. So Luba's just used this pregnancy example. I know people that won't even talk about, they won't say that somebody is pregnant because in case it brings something bad. They might not even tell you how many children they have because it might do that. There's a lot of stuff around that. We don't say, generally we don't say Mazal Tov, which is a sort of congratulations when we hear somebody's pregnant, because we don't want to preempt something. So we say Besha'a Tova, meaning may the birth sort of be in the, at the right time. So there's a lot of fear around that because that's, I think, where we're most afraid, David.
No, absolutely. And exactly as we're saying is that when we don't have control over things, and I think that causes us to feel very anxious. And again, we want to have more control of things, or we don't want to put a whammy on it, if that's the right word. So we tend to develop these rituals that we do in order to make us feel safer, to make us feel like we have more control, or that we are giving up control in some ways, like the example that you are giving, Howard. And I think often we don't want to talk about, you know, whether we're having a boy or a girl. Another thing, we don't want to preempt something that hasn't happened yet.
We often don't buy clothes for an impending birth.
Right.
I know that sort of within our world, you know, you can buy the stuff, but you just keep it there. You don't get it all overly organized.
Because it's a way of saying, I give up control. I'm not in control of this.
Because you're presuming it. You're counting your chickens before they hatch.
Absolutely. I'm not that powerful. And it comes from a place of anxiety. And I think, as Luba said, ritual, we all do them, I think. But obviously when it gets to, worrying levels where it's affecting your daily life and you can't function and it's hurting other people, sure, then we,
you know. But where do you draw the line? You see, for me, the challenge I have is that it almost seems like a slippery slope. But when you begin this, it's very easy to find 100%. Yourself so far down that you're now reading horoscopes and things like that, where you believe that you have absolutely no control of your life, and there are things around you, omens, signs, and all of those issues that you've got to watch out for. You know, somebody would say, look, my hand, my palm feels itchy, I'm going to get money, or this feels like this, and somebody's talking about me. The concern I have, look, I can't talk about the Jewish culture, but certainly in the African culture, it starts there, but the scope of it is very deep. So you'll go so far as people consulting and getting involved in all manner of things. Because if you take the sangomas and everything else, it all begins, you know, at a shallow, superficial level. But the depth goes quite far, where people believe there are certain signs. You know, for instance, if your kid wets his bed or fails, it's a sign that you haven't done something, some superstition. You haven't appeased an ancestor or something like that.
Not a sign that you're a bad parent. And sign says, no, I'm going out of range. I don't want to miss the rest of this madness. I'm on my way to the Vault Triangle. But I don't mind being late just to hear more. Jenny says, we also don't talk about deals or things in the future as though they are done. If you do, they won't happen. That's true, though. Oh, Jenny says.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I can tell you,
there's not just a discussion.
That's true. No, that's pulled you off this one. You're going to be in trouble after this show.
For sure.
I remember being at my brother-in-law's wedding, and if I may say, it probably was a seagull pooped on me.
Oh, that's good luck.
I didn't feel very lucky, however.
No, but it is.
I did not, because it was obviously a very big
Okay, I am assuming it's a Cape Town wedding, because if a seagull pooped on you in Joburg.
It was.
Then
it's a big bird.
It's a big bird, and, you know.
Because in Joburg you get hardy dogs. Go with the seagull.
Yeah, I mean, do you say that to your friend? Like, have a great day, I wish a bird poops on you.
And also, you know, I remember around exam time, if a jacaranda fell on you, that was good luck. There's a lot of stuff around this.
There's a lot
but
of
also
stuff.
Those are real. So that's different because it's around exams.
So there's this thing where if you are of the clan name Jola and you.
That's the snake. Yeah, that's the snake.
So I've always kept in mind that whoever I date, it can't be someone who has that clan name. Because the thing is, if you have, if you get pregnant and a snake, I think it's a mole snake, mm-hmm. comes into the house, you're not supposed to do anything to it. You're not supposed to kill it or anything.
Do you get a lot of snakes in Sandton? Luba, we've been persecuted for, we've been persecuted for thousands of years. Do you know, in our level of anxiety is through the roof. Anybody, everybody's out to kill us. So, or has been. So, so you know what? We hear it. And also there's that thing if you walk, if a couple walks and they get separated by a pole.
Yeah.
Have you heard that one? Yeah. They've got to say like bread and butter or something. So as though then, and then they said, maybe that's only if you're in high school. I don't know. But the point is that these things, there's so many of them. You know,
you know the thing though is, to go back to my earlier point, I heard the issue about the snake, and I mean, look, I've seen a few number of them, and I've always wondered why I would see snakes at home when I was growing up. My mother said, she's a joiler, therefore it's her family snake. Now on my dad's side, I've remembered now it's a crab. So my brother and I apparently killed a crab when we were kids. And my mother said, you know what? She had a kid after me, but he died because we killed the crab. Now that's where I say it's a little bit awful, you know, because she kind of just put it there. And I thought, okay, so what happens? No, you two were playing in the garden. You saw a crab and you stoned it. And I mean, as little boys would do, I know it's not PC these days, but that's where I worry with this whole thing that you can suddenly, you know, be apportioned blame.
Yeah. I mean, for something that, I mean, it sounds terrible, but for killing of a sibling, because, you know, it's David is horrified by this. This is how many sessions would this require, David? Oh,
but that's why I'm saying this is a problem of culture.
Potentially dangerous.
There was a firm belief that it's a family animal on my dad's side. I never knew. And then my mom said, you can't eat a crab. I said, well, I don't eat shellfish anyway, so you know it's interesting.
Yeah, Beulah says if it looks as though it's going to rain, like especially at a chuppah, you must just put a broom in the tree and bury a fork. True story.
Yeah. Well, interestingly enough, I remember years ago it was a Shabbos, and there was this absolutely horrific hailstorm, which it was like almost like a plague that came down, and the lady that works you know, for this household, and she happened to be an African lady, took salt and started throwing it at the storm, which is very, very interesting, to calm the storm down. I don't know, is the nutty?
No, the one thing we do when there's a storm, we cover all the mirrors.
Anything. Oh, you've told us that before. Even the TV you
even
cover.
Even the TV.
Yeah, you can't watch the TV, you cover the mirrors, don't touch the phone.
Ah, so the phone, I know we were those. We had to unplug everything. We had to unplug.
What about the bed though? On bricks, that's a nice one.
But is that still a thing? I remember from my childhood that was a thing. To raise the level of the bed.
Really?
Well, the belief was you get utikolosha, which is a miniature kind of guy who. Anybody who dabbles in the occult would kind of send this guy to poison you, do you harm. So because this chap is a little short, if you put your bed on bricks, he's too short to get to you. So this little evil chap, he comes wandering around. He can climb under doors, you know, through a little gap in the door. So many people would then put their bed on bricks so that he couldn't get to them.
Wow.
So it's an honest belief that people have. Just elevate, you know, raise your bed.
And don't forget that a lot of the salt, for example, the 13, the lucky, unlucky 13. Yeah. A lot of that comes from Christian doctrine, touching wood, knock on wood, the 13 number 13 was 13 people in Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper. The salt, bringing bad luck, spilt salt, because he painted spilt salt on the table. How it got to throwing it over you've got to throw it over your left shoulder to blind the devil. Who's standing behind
really?
You? Yes, Anati, you better.
And I do that.
Oh, it's lucky. And thankfully, you've remained safe from devilish behavior as a result. So, Ilan says, never whistle on the bridge of a ship. Did you know that one?
I didn't know that one.
No.
Never whistle on a bridge of a ship because it calls out ghost ships. Mm. Yeah, it's scary. There's a lot of stuff out there.
Eating
sounds
bananas.
Like the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
Hmm. Yeah, it does. It does have a little. Okay. So David, let's just try and put this into context.
Right.
We all have quirky, fun, silly stuff that we do. Most of it, I would imagine, isn't harmful. When does it become harmful?
It becomes harmful when you absolutely start to believe that you cannot survive, or that these kind of the cause and effect are related to serious things like Luba talks about, you know. So you cannot function in the world without doing certain things. You cannot move, and this actually starts to, you know, where Luba's saying it becomes a problem. This is where we start to see obsessive compulsive behavior, where people actually have to do certain things because they believe that if they don't, something terrible is going to happen. And it can be, you know, I know it's been a very light discussion, but it can really be debilitating where people, don't feel that they can leave the house on a certain time, or they have to leave the house on a certain time, or they can't, and this is common, walk on cracks, or have to walk in right angles. So it can be absolutely debilitating. But, you know, I think the smaller rituals, the ones which we just do quite easily on a day-to-day basis, which doesn't kind of take away our confidence, which doesn't cause us not to be able to function in the world, I think we all do them.
Absolutely right. And that's unfortunately where we do have to leave it. Luba Maikisa, thank you as always. It is 8:57. Michael from Gallimana says, watch Nadal before he serves. What is that? And Unsigned says, you shouldn't have a woman on board a ship, according to Pirates of the Caribbean. Oh yeah, these are important things.